Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here again at a Beef Improvement Federation meeting and to talk about the role that BIF has to play in charting the future. In doing so, I couldn't help but reflect on our past, because what was done before will impact what we do in the future. Our founder, Dr. Frank Baker, had the vision of this organization, and his vision, as part of that vision, he saw this organization having the important role of pulling together the extension people, the research scientists, and the industry organizations that are all partners in genetic improvement of beef cattle. And that this has become and has always been my favorite meeting, because more than any other forum, it brings all of these entities together. The industry people at this meeting is unique in that it's always involved. A majority of our participants have been seed stock leaders, leaders in the seed stock industry and the commercial beef industry. A minority have represented us scientists and the extension specialists that are being involved in bringing new technology to bear in the industry and in disseminating that information and putting it into packages and making it available to our entire industry. Another person that played a key role in this organization was my mentor, Major Professor Dr. Richard Wilhelm. When I worked with him, he was at Oklahoma State University. He spent most of his career at Iowa State University and has trained Sally and many of the scientists that we interact with here every year. This organization was set up, and the board members reflect all three of these entities. The National Association of Animal Breeders is on the board, the National Beef Cattle Industry, and especially breed associations and beef cattle improvement associations are represented on the board. And that's what provides for this continued continuity and emphasis of this organization, I think. This has been my favorite meeting each year, and one of the reasons is that it has stimulated many of the questions that we've gone home and asked after each meeting to address in our research programs. I can show you several number of pages in our BIF guidelines that still reflect equations or procedures that resulted from a master's thesis or a research project that was conducted as a result of discussions led and had here at this meeting. Perhaps our best example is the crossbreed EPD procedures. In 1989, Keith Vanderwelde with ABS came up and asked the question, well, you have this information on data on all these differences between breeds. Can't we use that to estimate EPDs across breeds? And that stimulated Dave Nodder and I to get our heads together at that very meeting and talk about how we might use that data to estimate across breed EPDs. That led to a journal paper. It led to a paper in the proceedings of BIF the next year and led to the subsequent analysis that Dr. Van Vleck and I conducted for the next 15 years, and now is conducted by Larry Keene and my colleague Mark Tallman each year to update those across breed EPD tables. And we've seen these charts already at this several times at this meeting, but these genetic trends that compare the genetic compare different breeds on an EPD scale are based on those crossbreed EPD factors. And that, so each one not only shows the far right-hand corner column or far right-hand of each of those graphs shows you how these breeds compare today, but you can add them to the genetic trends of EPDs within each breed to see how those breeds have arrived at this point in time from where they started as long ago as their EPD genetic trends show up on our websites. But so the differences in growth today are not nearly as great as they used to be, and as Jerry Taylor pointed out, Angus have virtually closed the gap on the continental breeds for growth. It's amazing how they've closed the gap on milk as well, and many of the traits aren't nearly as different today as they used to be. Now, we have had that kind of data for growth traits for a long time, throughout the history of BIF, going back over 40 years when we first started this organization, the record of performance. Other traits came on the scene a little later. The Simmental Association, the Gelbe Association brought into the picture calving ease EPDs and divided that into its direct and maternal components, calving ease of a sire's progeny, calving ease of a sire's daughter's progeny. And then scrotal circumference came in, and stayability. Not every breed has adopted all of these traits, but many of them adopted many of them. Really, the new thing, and the one that are just beginning to kick in as far as genetic trends are concerned, are the carcass traits, like Sally talked about, marbling, ribeye, fat thickness. And it's exciting. It's really exciting to see the first applications of marker-assisted selection or genomic genetic prediction applied to these characteristics. I thought for a long time these would be the traits, the hard-to-measure traits on our CNR seed stock herds, where this kind of procedure could have its greatest impact. And it's rewarding to see that that is being implemented today. The role of Beef Improvement Federation with regard to the future and with regard to the past, a key component has been these symposia, these research symposia and annual meetings. And they carry the title Research Symposia for a good reason. And you've heard already in this session very vivid examples of how state-of-the-art research is brought to our beef industry by this organization in these research symposia. Each of our speakers at this meeting, both yesterday and especially this morning, have documented very well the new technology that's coming to bear on genetic improvement of beef cattle. And the organization has organized itself into committees that focus on different aspects of genetic improvement in beef cattle. This is our current committee structure. It's evolved over time. I used to serve on the ranch testing committee, and then there were central test committees, and then there was the National Sire Evaluation Committee, and that's become Genetic Prediction Committee. And there's an Emerging Technology Committee that's been especially the format for bringing the molecular genetics into genetic evaluations of beef cattle. And then in between the annual meetings, there's been many workshops. We held our ninth genetic prediction workshop a couple years ago as the forum for updating our guidelines. And the guidelines are a book that's published. The ninth edition is coming out, was just approved by our BIF board at this meeting, and will be added to our BIF website. It updates the guidelines and procedures that are used for genetic evaluations of beef cattle. The guidelines, as I look at it, have been the textbook of procedures that can be used for record of performance in beef cattle, for estimating breeding values, for estimating the EPDs. And students anywhere in the world can utilize these. This is a place to see exactly how the genetic evaluations are conducted. Now, the body of the guidelines has always been kind of written in generic, hopefully easy to read terminology, but the appendices have documented in black and white the elaborate equations that are used and followed in all our genetic evaluations. And I can't tell you how grateful I am to the many scientists that have contributed to those guidelines over the years. It was my pleasure to serve as editor of this ninth edition, and we held this workshop, John Pollock with the NBCEC and a regional technical committee that concerns itself with genetic evaluations of beef cattle. We had a workshop in December, 2 years ago, last December, and the focus of that program, we went through our guidelines. We identified the areas that needed updating. There was very little in the old guidelines on the molecular approaches to genetic evaluation, and that's where we've had the biggest changes, documenting how this can new technology can be implemented, and it's exactly the procedures that Sally described to you in this session. We're going to be out of date. The procedures that are going to... It'll need to be updated again very soon to bring in the technology that Jerry Taylor and Kirk Van Tassel communicated to us so effectively today. So these are ongoing documents that have to be updated on a continuing basis. But I did want to take this opportunity to acknowledge and thank the contributors that made special efforts to rewrite the current new edition of the guidelines. Utter scores were described by a committee and documented that Lauren Hyde chaired. Denny Cruz and Mike McNeil wrote a good section updating our procedures for feed efficiency, which have not been, which are basically new in the guidelines. Bob Weber on behavioral traits. And my colleagues at the Meat Animal Research Center, Tommy Wheeler and Steve Shackelford, updated the guidelines for evaluating tenderness in beef cattle. Dorian Garrigan, I apologize for my typo here. I started to have Dorian Garrick, and I deleted the first names to make it fit on the slide. But I left, that's not Derek, that's Garrick. And he and Mike McNeil wrote the section on economically relevant traits and on selection indexes, Garrick and McNeil again. Very new addition, new parts to the guidelines. Selection indexes are not new, but they need to be documented in this book that's our textbook for how to evaluate cattle. And some of the things about them are new, and these gentlemen have brought that to bear in this section of our guidelines. Now, the procedures for combining molecular data with quantitative approaches, there was a committee chaired by Mike Tess and involved many of the scientists that you've heard or mentioned here already in these sessions that wrote that part of our guidelines, a whole new chapter in the guidelines. And Steve Kochman wrote the appendix that outlines the details, all the algebra and the equations that are involved in computing molecular breeding values, and then going how to combine that with the carcass data that we heard Sally talk about. The approaches for crossbreed EPDs have also evolved and changed over time and become more accurate and more sophisticated. And Larry Keene has updated that section of our guidelines. So our charge to the future is to keep on doing these things. Keep on doing, let's involve our seed stock producers, our breed associations, our genomic companies, research scientists and extension specialists. These things don't just happen. It takes a commitment from everyone to make these things happen. I'm very concerned about seeing the continued support that for our land-grant universities, the training of our scientists, and the extension specialists. I have seen some erosion of support for funding for extension in beef cattle, especially genetic improvement program specialists. And we've seen some erosion of research resources. When I first started working with this organization 40 years ago, I was a coordinator of regional project NC1. I traveled to 12 north central states. Each station had a herd of several hundred cows committed to genetic evaluations of beef cattle. They were the stations that documented the benefits of crossbreeding, the benefits of selecting on record of performance. And they were scientists and herds at each of these locations committed to those kind of projects. Those kind of populations no longer exist. I'm concerned that we do need to keep funding these research efforts at all of the institutions to keep this technology current and impacting our industry. I'm concerned also about keeping this organization as a as the organization that brings together these interests of seed stock and industry organizations with the scientists and the extension specialists. And it's programs like, I'm not really worried. When we have programs like we've heard at this meeting, the speakers we've heard at this meeting, that is what makes it happen and successful and keeps drawing the important, the leaders in our industry to this effort. So our charge is to continue to provide that direction and impact in our beef cattle industry. And with the organization like BIF and with the leadership we have and still enjoy, I'm quite comfortable with the fact that this effort is in good hands. And I thank you for inviting me to talk about this and to be part of it for more than 40 years. Thank you very much.